Well, we're happy to have all of you, every single one, with us this morning. And we miss Jess and Gary and Sharon and maybe some others that aren't able to be here, but we sure do appreciate having all of you here with us. And as we were having the communion there, I was thinking about the communion bread and appreciate Violet making that for us. There's a lot of love that goes into that bread, and so we ought to really appreciate that. It's really makes a nice part of our service here. As we were singing that opening song there, that Soldiers of Christ Arise, it brought back a lot of memories of me being in Florida College when I was a young man and chapel services every morning with 500 young people, and so many times singing that song, probably where I learned that song. And so it really brings back those memories of those beautiful voices and the powerful singing of those bass voices in that song. Is a beautiful song when you really have a lot of good singers going into that. Our weather today is cooling down, as you might have noticed, that we've had some warm days. But and that really reminds us, I believe, of God's faithfulness and how He is in control of this world that He has made. And He has not forgotten His creation. We're so blessed that our universe is a consistency and that we may have a few days of warm weather, but then God brings things back, and it's all built in as His creation, that there's a wonderful consistency, and everywhere we look, we see the hand of God and the evidence that God is in control. And as we think about our lesson this morning, Great is God's Faithfulness, we're going to sing that song at the end of the lesson, number 190. And as we go through the lesson this morning, it will help us maybe to appreciate that song and what the background of it is and the importance in our lives of God's faithfulness. Let me ask you this question. How many people do you know who do exactly what they say they're going to do every single time and do it with such thoroughness and perfection that you never have to worry about anything they say or do? No matter how they feel, they will always do exactly what they say every single time, because you know that if they say it, they will definitely do it without fail. How many people do you know like that? Well, not very many. I think we all know people that who seem very dependable to us, but in the end, to be honest, the only person you or I know who is consistent in that every single time is God. When God speaks, when He gives His word and He says He is going to do something, we can be confident of it, that every single time without fail, God is going to honor and do just exactly as He said. You know, the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17 that Jesus Christ, in Him, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And that the faithfulness of God is the glue that holds this world together. And we take that for granted many times. I think when we think about the faithfulness of God, we're so accustomed to thinking of that. And yet, if God, for one moment, were to withdraw His hand from this earth, the world would go into chaos. Without it, the universe would be erratic and unpredictable. The planets would spin out of their orbits. The laws of nature would be unreliable. The sun would shine whenever it felt like it. And if it didn't feel like it, then it just wouldn't come up that day. And so without the faithfulness of God, there would be no stability at all in this world. Have you ever thought about that? That God's faithfulness is holding this world together and allowing us to live in a world like we do. And in Psalm 89 in verse 2, God said that His faithfulness is established in the heavens. We have a promise given to us in the book of Genesis. And we talked about this some in our Sunday morning class a few weeks ago when we were there in that chapter, that whenever the flood was concluded and Noah and his family were coming forth from the ark, God renewed His promises of the earth. And He made this promise. He said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. When you think about it, since that time, since that promise was made, that is exactly what we have seen every single year and every day that God has regulated this earth. He has been faithful to that promise. And behind that stability that we see in the world of nature is the hand of God, the power of God that brings about that so that we can live in this world and we cannot have any fear about the sun is going to come up, it is going to go down, and there is going to be summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun and moon and stars. And in this song about the faithfulness of God, there is one verse that you might notice that it says, summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. So our God can always be trusted. He never forgets. He never fails. He always keeps His word. And there is no possibility that He will ever change in that in any way. Why are so many people today unfaithful in their commitments, in their marriages, in their promises, following through with things they said they were going to do? Well, there's many reasons for that, no doubt. People are people. People are imperfect. Some are unfaithful because they're too lazy to do what they promised to do. Some because they don't have the strength to carry through what they said they were going to do. Sometimes it's the result of they got married, but now they don't feel the same way that they did. Their desires, everything has changed. But none of these things affect God. When you think about that, all of the reasons that people can give why, I know I said I was going to do this, but now I just don't feel I can go through. None of those reasons affect God. God is unchanging. And when we read in Psalm 119 and verse 90, He said, your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. And so we find here in this short book of Lamentations that the prophet Jeremiah wrote that his compassions fail not and they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is God's faithfulness. The word faithfulness that is used in the scripture here by Jeremiah is the word aman. And it is the word from which we get amen. Whenever we pray and we say amen at the conclusion of the prayer, what it means is so be it. And that we agree with the things that are stated in that prayer. And there is a interesting verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 where it says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him amen to the glory of God through us." God is faithful then in what He promises to do. And that is in the very center of the core of creation of the universe that we live in. And it's in the center of the core of God's Word in His revelation that He has given to us, because faithfulness means keeping His Word, doing what He said He is going to do, and not ever forgetting those promises that He has made. We find in the book of Joshua an interesting passage in Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14, where Joshua, in the end of his life, was speaking to the people of Israel, and they were all gathered together. And he said, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed." The faithfulness of God then is His determination, that is a part of His character, that is a part of His nature, to always do what He has said He would do. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, Moses said, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandment." He is a faithful God. But I want us to take that thought and make it applicable to our lives and see that this blessing of the faithfulness of God has an immediate impact in our lives. That His faithfulness has an effect on our lives at this very moment, and makes us be able to live healthy and happy spiritual lives before God. So understanding God's faithfulness is essential to good health, good mental and spiritual health in many different ways. Let's notice some of those things that God's faithfulness impacts our lives and allows us to live in peace and in confidence of our life. The first thing that I would like to mention is that God's faithfulness, it frees us from worry, so that we do not have to go through our day in anxiety and in worry and in fear, because God is faithful. Now, do any of us here this morning have a tendency to ever worry just a little bit? I say that a little facetiously, because we know that we all do. We all more so now today probably than ever before. We have that tendency because there's so many things to worry about today in our lives. God's faithfulness, though, it allows us to have total confidence in every promise that He has made, and it frees us from this kind of worry because we know God is going to do what He said He has promised that He would do. In Hebrews 10 and verse 23, we read these words. It said, "He who has promised is faithful." God is going to keep His promises. His promises which cover every moment of our lives. There are books that we can buy that have the promises of God listed, and many of them, it's difficult to count all the promises of God. But when you begin to look at them, there are promises of God that He has made that touch upon every aspect of our life. In every situation that you can find yourself in, God has a promise that He has made regarding that, if you look for it. And His promises are as certain as His character. Jesus is called in the book of Revelation, he's called the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Now, as we study about the resurrection of Jesus, we find that his resurrection has given us the assurance of his promises, that God's promises about our salvation, about our resurrection and our eternal life with God, Jesus has sealed that and guaranteed that for us through the resurrection of the dead. And so he is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. When we go to the end of the book of Revelation, in Revelation 22 and verse 6, he has these words where he says, "These words that I write to you are faithful and true." And there it is at the very last chapter of the Bible, looking back through all the things that God has said throughout the Bible. These things are faithful and true. These words. You can count on then the Word of God, the promises of God that He has made to us all the way from the beginning to the end of His Word, that these words are faithful and true. In the book of Psalms, it says in Psalm 119, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations." So there's a promise that God has made in His word for every situation that you face in your life. There's no need for us to worry about our lives when we understand God's faithfulness, that not one of these promises is going to fail, not even a jot or a tittle of any of these promises that God made. And that does away with worry. We don't need to be worrying. When we are worrying, as Jesus said, it's not going to make you any one inch taller or make your life one day longer or one minute longer. For us to worry, it is useless. It does not accomplish. Look at the faithfulness of God, the promises of God. And I believe that when we stop in that moment, whenever you are feeling that need to worry in your life, stop for a moment and step back and look back at your life and ask yourself the simple question, has God been faithful to me in my life? Has God been watching over me in my life? And we cannot help but answer overwhelmingly, yes, God has been faithful to us. There is no need for us to worry. God is in control of this world that we live in, and He's in control of our lives. There's another benefit that we have of God's faithfulness, and that is that He is going to answer our prayers. He does answer our prayers when we call upon Him. In Psalm 43 and verse 1, it says, "Lord, hear my prayer, listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and your righteousness, come to my relief." Well, how do we know that God answers our prayers? How do we know that He hears my prayers when I pray to Him? Because it is His nature to be faithful, constant and consistent. And God has promised us that when we call upon Him, He will answer. In Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, He said, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." So think of an occasion in your life, someone you know that brings to mind the answer to that verse, that truth of that promise. "Call to me, call upon me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Probably every single one of us, if you were to be asked and think about it for a moment, could go back in your life and say, "Yes, I remember that time when I called upon God, we needed help, and sure enough, God came and answered that prayer as He said He would." There was a young man named Jason Meyer. He was taking college classes, studying the Bible, as I understand it, and he was working on a degree. And so in his day job, he would work all day, and then at night he would go to his Bible classes. And many times he was up late at night. Well, one particular night he was very late with his studies, and he was driving home. It was around midnight, and he was so tired that he was falling asleep. And he did everything that he could think to stay awake. Some of you have been that way. Angie was saying that on the way home from our house to Missoula the other day, they had lunch in Moses Lake, and from Moses Lake to Spokane, she was like that. She could not stay awake. She was doing everything. So he turned on the radio, he rolled down the windows, and he tried singing as loud as he could and slapping himself in the face, and all those different kind of things. But that's a miserable feeling when you're driving like that and you're falling asleep. And the next thing he knew, he said, he woke up in the driveway in front of his house. And he said, "How did I get here?" And so he got out and walked into the house. And when he got upstairs and walked in the bedroom, his wife was sitting up in bed. And he said, What's going on?" And she said, "Well, I went to bed and I was sleeping soundly, but all of a sudden I woke up and I realized that you weren't home, and I was concerned and I began praying. And now you're safe and now you're here." And he told that story apparently many times to his friends after that. And he said, "You know, really the reason that I'm here today is because my wife woke up and something prompted her to wake up in the middle of her sleep and start praying for me. And I think I'm still here today because of that." Well, God, because of His faithfulness, answers our prayers. And we can be confident of that, that when we go to Him, God is going to hear our prayers and does answer them, because He is a faithful God, and He has promised that He will answer them. Another reason that we can be benefited by God's faithfulness, it protects us from evil. Now, many times in our life, we don't realize that God is watching over us and helping keep us from evil. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, in the Lord's Prayer there, He says, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Well, some translations say deliver us from evil, some say from the evil one, referring to Satan. And Jesus then assures us that God is there helping us. Now, we don't realize all the evil that is out there around us as we go through our day. And Paul, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, though, here's what he says: "The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." So, I love that verse, because when you start your day, any day that you begin your day, you can have that thought going through your mind: I don't know what is going to happen today. I don't know what's out there that's going to happen to me. But one thing I do know: God is with me. He's going to be watching out for me. He's going to be guarding and protecting me. Jesus, when He was praying His prayer in John chapter 17 for His disciples, the 12, He said in verse 5, He said, "And now, O Father, glorify Me together with You, with the glory which I had with You before the world was." And He began to praying for His disciples, and He said, "Father, keep them from the evil one." He said, I want them to be in the world, but keep them from the evil that is in the world. God then, because He is faithful, we can be confident and encouraged by the fact that He is there helping us, protecting us, and guarding us from the evil. How do you feel when you read these words and hear these scriptures that I'm reading this morning, that God is faithful? Because sometimes the effect that that has on people, and I know this firsthand, is reverse effect. And I know of people like this, that when you read a scripture that is saying God is faithful, always faithful to you, that you would think that would be an encouraging verse, and yet some people take it the opposite way, that, but I'm unfaithful. I am unfaithful. I have been so unfaithful. And all they can see when they hear that verse is that it is a condemning statement of them. God is faithful, but I'm not faithful. But you see, we have a verse here in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13. It says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. So God is faithful regardless of whether we are faithful or not. Even if we are faithless to Him, God remains faithful because He cannot deny Himself. Even when we fail, He never stops being faithful to us. And if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and you look at your life, we all fail. We all fall short. In many ways, we fall short. And yet, God remains faithful to us. In spite of our failures, and if you are one of those people this morning that you feel defeated by your failures, join the club. But remember that God's faithfulness to you does not depend on your faithfulness to Him. He remains faithful to you always because He is God. The fourth reason that it's a benefit, it's a blessing, is because it promotes praise from us. Knowing the faithfulness of God causes us to be wanting to praise Him. And notice in Psalm 89 and verses 1 through 8, familiar verses for some of us. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around Him. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds us. So because God is faithful, we can't help but praise Him. And we want to praise Him whenever we read these kind of scriptures throughout the Bible about the faithfulness of God. The first thing that comes to mind is we want to praise God and give Him the glory and give Him the praise for what He has done. In Psalms 92 and verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. I think that's interesting that we declare His loving kindness in the morning. And then at night, when we get to the end of the day and we look back through the day, we remember how His faithfulness has been with us all through the day. But there's one other thing that I want us to think about before we close the lesson, and that is that God's faithfulness provides encouragement for us. And especially in some of the darkest times that we come to in life, His faithfulness is a great encouragement. And when we think about the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations, the book of Lamentations was written at a time when Jeremiah was at his lowest. Now, God's faithfulness kept Jeremiah the prophet going when nothing else did. Because when God first called Jeremiah to be a prophet in the opening chapter of Jeremiah, God told him, He said, I want you to go and preach to these people, but they're not going to listen to anything you say. Now, can you imagine what that would be like? God comes to you and He says, I want you to go and preach to these people, but they're not going to listen to anything you say. I mean, I would feel like quitting right there. Jeremiah became a prophet during that time, and he lived through the fall and collapse of the kingdom of Jerusalem and Judah about the time of the Babylonian captivity that was coming. And he wrote the two books, Jeremiah and then the shorter book of Lamentations, which is really like a postscript after the book that looks back. And the book of Lamentations is the saddest book in the Bible. The name lament or lamentations, it means to lament, to mourn deeply, to grieve. So Jeremiah is sometimes referred to as the weeping prophet. And he had good reason to lament because he was serving the Lord during the final days of Judah and Jerusalem. And every king just kept getting worse and worse. The godlessness of his day was like a runaway train. It was out of control. In spite of his preaching, people were not listening to anything he said. And Jeremiah himself, he was persecuted. He was abused. He was threatened with death. They took him and threw him into a miry pit. And at that time was when the city of Jerusalem was under attack from the Babylonians, under siege. And Jeremiah was going through this. He was many days without food and water. And as he watched, the Babylonians broke through the walls of Jerusalem, and thousands of people died, and the city was burned, the temple and the city of Jerusalem. Jeremiah lived through this nightmare. And as he watched all of this happening, the tradition says that Jeremiah somehow survived all of this, and that while this was still going on, he went outside the city of Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives. And he sat there and watched the city of Jerusalem burning. In rags, in the condition that he was in, seeing this, experiencing all of this. And so the book of Lamentation begins like this. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow is she, who was great among the nations. The princess among the provinces has become a slave. She weeps bitterly in the night. Her tears are on her cheeks among all her lovers. She has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. The Babylonian invasion and captivity and of the survivors wasn't just the fall of that great nation. It was very personal for Jeremiah himself. And it called in question the whole plan of God, that God promised Abraham that he was going to be a great nation and that out of this the whole world would be blessed, there would be a Savior. And Jerusalem would become the center of the Gentiles flowing in to find out about the Messiah. And now there was no more Jerusalem. So all hope seemed gone, and Jeremiah was in tears as he was watching all of this unfold. And he went on to say, "Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Behold and see if there is any sorrow like my sorrow, which has been brought on me, which the Lord has inflicted in the day of His fierce anger. For these things I weep. My eye overflows with water. Zion spreads out her hands, but no one comforts her." In chapter 3 and verse 8:1, he said, "I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of His wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely He has turned His hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry and shout, He shuts out my prayer. He has also broken my teeth with gravel, covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord." But then one thought came to him like a bolt of lightning in all of this darkness. One attribute of God that he recalled to mind. And he said in verse 21, "This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness." So that song that we sing, "The Great is Thy Faithfulness," it didn't come from a mountaintop wonderful experience in Jeremiah's life. When everything was going well and the birds were singing and the flowers were all in bloom, "Oh, great is Thy faithfulness." It was just the opposite of that. It was in the darkest hour of his soul. And he is talking about this, how everything is hopeless, everything is gone. And then he says one thing, "This I recall to my mind." So whenever those times are of your life are in the darkest times, is when you need to recall to your mind the faithfulness of God. We need to remind ourselves of God's character, His nature, His unfaithfulness. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And Thomas Chisholm wrote the words of this psalm. But when Jeremiah actually was living through this, it was a lot different than what we envision. The song, it says, "Morning by morning new mercies I see," and yet Jeremiah really didn't see any mercies. He only saw them by the eye of faith, knowing the character of God, knowing the faithfulness of God. And if the only time that we declare the faithfulness of God, really, honestly, is when everything is going well in life, then we're probably not going to sing it very often. God isn't faithful because we understand the purpose of what's happening. Many times we don't understand. We ask the question, "Why is this happening to me?" But God is faithful because He is God. And it is His nature to be faithful. Whenever I was studying in college, I took class in Hebrew. And that was the most difficult class that I ever took, because I could not understand Hebrew. There is none of those letters make any sense like anything you've ever seen before. And the worst thing about it is that it reads from right to left. and from back to front. So when you open the Bible in Hebrew, you turn it like this over to the back and you open it, and that's the start of the book of Genesis. And you go up here and you start reading across this way, across the page. Our life is a lot like reading in Hebrew many times. You can't understand it, but you get to the end and you look back, and now all of a sudden you can see God has been faithful to me. God has been watching over me all this time. Some of that time I wasn't even acknowledging Him. Some of that time I was in my own world of despondency. And I didn't pray many days. I didn't open His Word. I didn't even acknowledge Him. But God was there for me. There will be a time in each of our lives, I believe, when we will see that. That God has been faithful to each one of us. Some of you here may be thinking about your life in relation to this. And I just want to assure you how much God loves each one of you. God is faithful to you. He is watching over you. And He is waiting for you to be able to wake up and dawn this dawn in your mind. God is faithful to me. He has been there every single step of the way. And if you're here this morning and you never have obeyed the gospel, then why would you not want to embrace and grab hold of a Savior who is so faithful to you, who loves you no matter what? And if you are a Christian and you have become weak and you become discouraged and you've drifted away in some ways, then just understand that God is faithful even when we are faithless. And He's been there for you. And He hasn't left. And He's waiting for you to come back to Him. So we're going to stand and sing the song of invitation today. And we're going to sing this song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. So if you're here, we invite you to come if you're subject as we stand together and sing.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Be seated.
Appreciate that lesson of God's faithfulness. It's something we need to be reminded of. Sometimes we get a little, depressed as we look around the world around us and we see all the sin around us and how much our society has gone downhill and even in just a generation. Sometimes we feel like we're living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And it could get disheartening, but if we read the Bible and we stay faithful to God, He will stay faithful to us. He's promised that He'll give us a way out, that there will always be a way for us to stay faithful. So interesting, if you turn on the TV, it's hard, almost impossible to find a TV show nowadays that's not full of profanity or sinful activity. And so we got rid of our cable and just watch shows online where we could pick the shows that we want to watch. And now that's getting harder and harder. I noticed that Netflix used to have a faith and spirituality category. Well, they got rid of that category now, so it's really hard. It makes it even harder to find any decent shows. And look at the politics. And it gets harder and harder. But God gave us a way, like we're here this morning, to be encouraged and to know that we're not alone. We know sometimes when we're out in the world, you feel alone. You know, in our class this morning, in our Bible class, we're studying in Genesis about Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham was trying to keep them from being destroyed. And he said, well, what if, you know, God tells Abraham that he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their exceeding wickedness. And he says, well, what if there's 50 righteous people? And he says, okay, well, not for 50. And then he keeps going out, well, what if there's 45? What if there's 40? What if there's 35? What if there's 30? It's clear down to 10. What if there's just 10? He says, well, even if there's just 10, I won't destroy it. And so he sends his angels. And that's where we hear the story of how they come to Lot's house. And Lot just escapes out of the city with just him and his two daughters and his wife. His sons-in-law won't go. And his wife regrets going, so she gets killed also. So that turns out to only three. You know, sometimes I think Abraham's thinking, well, if there's tens of thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people in the city, and none of them are righteous, so what hope do I have? And sometimes we think that way too. There's millions of people in this world. Who am I to think that I have it right, and that I can be more righteous than them? If we read in 2 Peter chapter 2, it's talking about God, who God's not going to spare. This idea of faithfulness is like a two-edged sword. God is faithful to save those who are faithful to Him, but He's also faithful to keep His promises to punish the wicked. It says that turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterwards will live ungodly. And He delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. So Lot was actually oppressed For that righteous man dwelling among him was tormented, his righteous soul, from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. So we could feel tormented by the sin that surrounds us and still stay faithful to God. Then the Lord, knowing how to deliver the ungodly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust for punishment in the day of judgment. So God knows how to deliver us away from sin, and that we can stay faithful to Him. Paul already went through the announcements this morning, and I just want to encourage everyone to pray for the ones on our prayer list and for those that have been mentioned. And I encourage you to stay faithful to God, and He will stay faithful to you. Is there any announcements we need to make known before we dismiss? Okay, let's go ahead and close the Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we could rely on you, that we could know that you keep your promises, for we know it is impossible for you to lie. That we could trust you and the promises that you have made, that you will stay faithful to us, that all we have to do is obey your word and love you. Lord, we pray that we'll not be taken in by the wickedness around us, that we'll stay faithful and strong. And for those that have an ear, we pray that they will hear and that we'll be ready to give an account for the hope that lies within us. Lord, we pray that as many that can be brought to you will be. Lord, we pray that you keep us strong, that you protect us and help us to support one another. Lord, we love you for all the things that you've done for us and all the blessings you share upon us. Lord, we pray that you be with us and help us to be of a mind to gather together every chance we can. These things we pray through Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Muscle and well done.